Good morning to you, and again, welcome as you join with us this Sunday morning at Kings Norton Baptist Church. In our sermon series, we continue to look at those Jesus met, and today we see children brought to him. The passage we're considering is Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. So I hope you've read it, but if you haven't, then press the pause button now, stop the tape at this point and read it, and then we'll pray. Our Father God, we thank you for your word and the wonders that are contained in it, that these are living words, and we pray that they might indeed be living words to us this morning, and that we might be warmed in our hearts and challenged in our will, and we might come away more desiring to love you and to follow your Son, the Lord Jesus. So help us, we pray. Amen. You are stunned. You've lost colour. It's been a shock that's left you numbed. How could it have happened? As you slowly walk away from the door, you mutter to yourself, how could I be refused entry? Why couldn't I go in? Well, you've been invited to a special event. You paid the fee, ordered the tickets, and can't wait for the day to come. Dressed in your best outfit, you arrive full of excitement, for the time has arrived. It has come. And you walk confidently up to the entrance with ticket in hand. There is a moment of waiting while the doorman glances down at your ticket. Then another glance. He looks up at you and in the clearest of terms says, you cannot come in here. You do not have the right ticket. That ticket did not come from us. It's a forgery. You remonstrate, but it's to no avail. The man is adamant. The way is barred. You won't be going in. So eventually you turn around and walk away despairingly. Well, you may be thinking, what is this to do with Jesus welcoming little children? Quite. The sermon title is Beckoned or Barred? The kingdom of God, are you beckoned into that or are you barred from it? Why do the gospel writers include this short section? Was it just an event worthy of a few lines at most? You know, as a newspaper editor fills a space in the paper designed for the less important news, or the news in brief column. Well, the account of Jesus and young children has a serious message about entry into the kingdom of God. And Jesus holds up to you and I the stop-go sign. So there's the main point. It's a small section, but it has a big point. Firstly, when Jesus wants to underline something, he says, I tell you the truth. Jesus always tells the truth, so he doesn't need to say it. Now, here is something that is really important. He wants you, the listener, to listen carefully. Words can fly away. And he is saying, think about it. Make sure you understand what I am saying. Consider it seriously, for it affects you. Verse 15. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. He has children all around him. His hands are on their heads. He's picking them up in his arms. But all this is just a visual aid to reinforce the message about how to enter the kingdom of God. It's a memorable scene for a memorable message. Well, let's just look for a moment at the background. And you may be asking at this point, well, just how old are the children? Well, Matthew and Mark speak of little children. Luke has a different word, translated infants. So we're talking about preschool, playgroup, you know, 0-1-2, for they are in his arms. So Jesus' words are not directed toward them, for they're still so young. No. And these young children are not as the sort of children that you might pick up as you walk down the street in some country as they gather around. No, these are brought by people, presumably parents or older brothers and sisters. We read from Mark's account, who says in verse 10, that they were in the house again. So was this an impromptu desire to seek the martyr's blessing on the children he now was with? Not sure. The phrase, people were bringing little children to Jesus, suggests more. And children are precious to Jesus. In Matthew's account, this section starts with then. In other words, this follows on from the time just before when Jesus is talking with the Pharisees about marriages, about marriage. God's purpose in marriage is about the joy and responsibility of bringing up godly children. In Malachi we read, has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. However, I wonder if there's another simpler, more immediate reason. Maybe people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them because they'd seen how he could heal by touching or laying his hands on the sick. Do you remember the leper? Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Or when the sun was setting, people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. And then there's Peter's mother-in-law, if you remember. Jesus touched her hand and the fever left her. Well, these children are not sick, as far as we can tell, but these parents believe Christ has the power to transform, and they want Christ's blessing on their children. And it's a good thing for a mother to want that for her children. Yet, as Jews, I suspect they had something else in mind. The passing on of a blessing. Isaac did that with Jacob and Esau. So also, at the end of Jacob's life, he administered his blessing by placing his hands on the sons of Joseph. Surely the lesser is blessed by the greater. And so here, little children are brought to Christ as needing blessings from him. We cannot do better than seek this for our children. We cannot do better than seek this for our children. Well, Jesus takes up the children and blesses them. And what a delightful picture that is. And it's very strongly conveyed by the word in Greek, which actually occurs nowhere else but here in the New Testament. As if to say he blesses them fervently again and again. Well, were you brought as a child to Jesus? Perhaps you can't remember. The important thing is, have you brought your children? If only more parents would bring their children to Jesus. How good it is to bring them to him. How important to be concerned for these young lives. And do you give attention to the state of your children's soul? I quite often receive phone calls from mums inquiring about their children. And they have the wrong number, of course. They want the parish office up the road. And why are they ringing? Because they want to have their child done, as the phrase goes. Is there a real care for the spiritual life of their children? Mostly not. Did they expect that a blessing could and would be imparted as the minister takes them in his arms, touches their forehead, perhaps with water, and pronounces a blessing? Jesus can impart grace. Early on, the apostles could impart grace in the giving of the Spirit, which is the same thing. Salvation is a gift from God, and he gives it, not man. But can a minister impart grace today? No. You know, I can place my hands on them and I can pray for them, and so can you. But the gift comes from God, not us. So people ask, they ask me to bless their children or have a service to bless their children. And many think there is some sort of transmission of grace, some working of God that pronounces them eternally secure. No, we cannot effect grace to babies, young children, or anyone else for that matter. At KNBC, we don't christen or baptise babies or infants. However, we will have a service of blessing. And what is the blessing? The commitment of the parents and also those present to bring up children in a godly way. That's the blessing. Do you have godparents? Well, I had two godparents. One was a man named Tom Rogers, who spent his life in South America, and I never met him, except, of course, that time when he was at my christening. And another one was a lady called Anne Little. And I only have her name brought to mind because her nephew rang up about 3 weeks ago to say that she'd passed away. And I said, who? Who? I'd no idea. The way to bless children is through godly upbringing. Parents first, extended family, and there's a wonderful idea to have godparents. But the point is that children need to be brought up in the godly way. That is the blessing. It's good to bring children to Jesus, but don't forget yourself. You must bring yourself. Remember on an aeroplane, if the cabin pressure drops, the oxygen masks fall from the console, and you all know who has them first, don't you? You do, the adult. You put the mask on yourself first. It's not an act motivated by selfishness, no. Rather, we are then able to help put the oxygen mask onto others. So if you want to see children blessed, make sure you have it first yourself. Then you can lead them well. There are enough blind guides already. You don't have to be one as well. How about obstacles? Well, there are obstacles. Indifferent parents can be obstacles. They are obstacles, but there are others. People brought children to Jesus, and in his love for them, he welcomed them, and he welcomes them today. But it says the disciples rebuked them. Why did they do that? Did they think he was unconcerned for them as not being important? Or perhaps just too busy? Not with Christ. He is never too busy, nor is he unconcerned, but receives anyone who comes. There's a great phrase he said, whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. What a wonderful promise that is. A wonderful promise to children, who in many societies have little value. Here in the UK, it's the reverse, isn't it? Children are treated like little gods, as if the world revolves around them. And instead of children following their parents, it's parents who often follow their children. But actually, around the world, often it's the opposite extreme, where children are left to their own devices and barely considered to be part of society at large until they grow up and take their place as adults. No wonder Jesus was indignant. Do not hinder them. Let them come to me. How precious they are to him. He would have none of it and calls out, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. He is willing to receive them. What a picture that is of how willing he is to receive you if you will learn this lesson and become like a child. Yes, that's right. This episode is a message to the adult listener. What is Jesus saying? The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. To be received into the kingdom of God, you must come like a child, a little child. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So the main message is not directed to children. No, Jesus is talking to anyone, anyone and everyone. So this passage is not about them, but about those who are watching and listening. It's about you and I now. And he's talking about the kingdom of God. Well, where were you born? For me, I was born in Spain. And I was told to keep away from Spain when I was 18. Or I might be enlisted in the army. I'm not Spanish, I'm English. I wonder what your nationality is. Well, whatever you are, you and I are all born into one kingdom, the kingdom of this world. And we soon discover it's not such a good place. There is sorrow and misery and death, and no one escapes these. It also has a pull and appeal, a way which many like to follow. And to follow this is to follow the ways of this world and the rule of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. It is a wicked world with a wicked ruler behind it. For all its glitz and promise, it is devoid of hope. For all its supposed progress, it won't last. It will all go. Everything you see will go. It will all be destroyed, and we too with it. But Jesus spoke of another kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is from another place. The kingdom of God, his kingdom, is an eternal kingdom, the kingdom of light and eternal everlasting life. And one day there will not be two kingdoms, but only one. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. What a wonderful picture looking ahead. So that is what is to come. Now is the time to flee from this kingdom of evil and impending judgment and to jump ship, to run, to make good your escape, just as Lot did. Get out before God's anger overtakes you. Make sure you are in the right kingdom. How can I enter this kingdom? Run to King Jesus. He is the way into God's eternal kingdom. God made a way. God, in his love, who loved this world, sent his Son into this world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know it. You know the scripture. Surely you know it. But have you entered? Have you crossed over from one to the other? Through Christ's perfect life, through his law keeping when you and I haven't, through his full obedience to God when you and I have lived a life of sin and disobedience, through his giving up of that life in my place, that through his broken body and his precious blood shed on my behalf in my place, I may now freely receive forgiveness for all my many sins. Wow. Well, now a door is put in place where there was none before. Now there is a way. And now Jesus says, enter in. Enter in. Make every effort to enter in. Make every effort to enter in because it is not easy. It might appear easy, but it is not. And why not? Because it is a straight gate, a small and narrow gate, and so few enter it. It is for everyone. Everyone is called. There is no one excluded on the basis of colour or race or anything else. And yet it is for a few only. Why do I say that? What do you need to enter? You need a soft heart, like a young child, and only a few are willing to change. And that is the key. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So what is it about little children? What do they have that I don't have? Well, there are some things we try very quickly to shed as we grow older, as any teenager will demonstrate. I'm no longer a child. You can see how much effort is put into distancing themselves from anything childish. No, I want to be seen as an adult, to do adult things and to be treated like an adult. So what can we say? Don't stay as a child and don't remain childish. But instead, we are to become childlike. And so what are the characteristics of a young child? Well, firstly, infants and young children are extremely dependent upon others. And they are happy to be so. Indeed, they are at their happiest when they are. You see, they are other-centered. They want to be with you. They feel lost without you. Picture them in a shop. They're looking for you. They're always looking for you. And are quickly disorientated if they can't see you. Knowing you are there is everything for them. And they sleep easily. The light is left on, and it's a way of really saying, I know that you are there, not far. For the darkness means fear, and the light gives comfort, for you are there with them. In the same way, God made each of us to look to him as a child looks to a father or parent. Well, children don't say it like this, but every child knows that everything they have comes to them from their parents. They are not self-reliant. not proud of themselves or proud in themselves. Not proud like King Belshazzar, taking one example from the Old Testament, of whom it was said, "Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You praise the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honour the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways." No, the truth is, it is in him we live and move and have our being. Also, children have soft hearts, which are malleable, teachable, willing to learn, trusting. They quickly pick up the family way and the family's values and trust them as being the right ones. They are uncomplicated. Children do not build arguments against God. And some of you listening to this have yet to enter the kingdom of God. And I ask you, why not? What is your reason? What is your argument? What is your excuse? And I've heard every excuse. And of course, the Lord has heard every excuse. What is it you are saying? That God's not fair? Or he's mean? Or he causes the innocent to suffer? And he's not fair on women or on the sexually moral? Or he doesn't care for the poor? Or he's taken my husband from me? Or he's done this or he's done that? Or maybe you have other arguments you marshal in defense of your independence. Science has disproved God. Man is improving all the time and doesn't need a crutch. Well, to think all of this and not to think like a child is not to think like a child. No, they trust. They simply trust. They believe what he says without making it complicated. You know, if you are on the side of the road, up at the green perhaps, you put a little table with a sign saying, "Please take one," there's a pound coin sitting there. "It's free, please take it." A child would just read the sign and take the coin. Not us as adults. We make it too complicated. No, there must be a catch somewhere. There must be a reason. There must be a motive that's bad. Christianity Explored course, in one of the sessions, it shows somebody handing out leaflets in central London with a note on it saying, a leaflet, "Here's a free £5 note for you. Just bring this leaflet back to the one who gave it to you." And of course, most people pick up paper that's given and just put it in the bin or on the ground. Just a small number, just one or two people came back and had their free £5 note. You see, that requires a soft, trusting heart. The Pharisees would not come on those terms. And straight after this, Jesus meets the rich young ruler, keen to enter the kingdom of God, but he went away sad. He would not come on those terms either. He was unwilling to change. But there does need to be a change. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Has that happened to you? Is there a softening, a brokenness? It is true what has been said. Our brokenness is a bridge, not a barrier. Not to do so means you will never enter. And the phrase "never enter" is very emphatic. Never, certainly not, not at all, by no means. So there's a warning, beware. The longer you leave it, the harder it will be, for the harder you will be. Are you like those parents that will be glad to take their children to Sunday school? And that's it. Sometimes I go into a flat and there's a group sat around and they know why I'm there. And one says to me, pointing to another, "Oh, he needs saving or she needs saving." Well, they do. But I think, and sometimes I say, how about you? Are you any better? So how about you? Have you yourself entered? If not, will you? Maybe you have been brought to the door by the influence of someone. But to enter is for you alone to do. No one else can bring you through. Coming to church or being interested in Christian things is a bit like buying a platform ticket, if you remember them at the station years ago. The platform ticket doesn't cost very much, but it enables you to come onto the platform to see your loved ones off. You can come onto the platform where the train is. You can see it. You can even touch it, but you cannot board it. And when it goes, you are left behind. So there are many who come to the door, as it were, and do not enter. Maybe you have been brought to the door by someone, by that loving friend or family member. But they cannot enable you to enter. It's up to you. Keep your excuses, make up problems, stand by your independence, and the door is closed to you. All that is left is the shock in thinking that you had all that was necessary to enter. But stay as you are, and when the time comes, you'll find yourself barred. But you can enter. You can change your attitude and become as a child is. The Lord's invitation was not let them be brought, but let the children come. Come as a child, trust in him, and you will not be barred, but beckoned and welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. And Christ will take you up in his arms, and you will receive the blessing of the Father. And then you will indeed be a child of a wonderful Father in heaven who loves to bless children. And how many have experienced that? And what a privilege it is. And so this message is for you and I. And the picture is there of children. But it is a message for you and I. And I trust that if you haven't entered, you will enter. Maybe even today. Maybe now, having heard this message. May God's word speak to us. Amen.